Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you will be with us this morning. I know that God has a word for you. We're still dealing with don't faint, don't get weary. God is working something out in your life. You know, His ultimate plan is being worked out in your life. But before we go forward, I want Prophetess to give us our announcements and then lead us in our morning prayer, and then we're getting into this word. Prophetess.
And good morning, everybody. And once again, welcome to King Lifestyles Broadcast. We are excited that you're able to join us this morning. In the way of announcements, just want to let you know, every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. and every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. On Thursday nights at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live right here at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. That is also our website. Please take some time to go to our website, get to know more about us, get to know more about the church, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, and even pray about becoming a vision and a missions partner with our ministry to help our sons and daughters that are located overseas that are also doing a mighty, mighty work for the Lord. We have many sons and daughters that are over in India, Africa, Uganda, Tanzania, different places like that that not only need your prayers, but they also need your financial support. If you look on our website, you will see a donate button. Click on that button. If you would like to give, there's a box there. Please put your information in. Please put how much that you would like to give, and we will make sure it gets directly, that your donations will go and directly to those who you want the money to be sent. Always remember, people of God, as you lend to the poor, you are lending to the Lord. Amen. And amen. Also, we also want to let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministries has a Facebook page. Like us on our Facebook page under CTKRM, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or you can find us under Apostle Christopher McQueen. As you go to our Facebook page, please leave your name. Also, let us hear your praise reports, your prayer requests. Someone can touch and agree with you for your prayer request that God is going to do it exactly, seemingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. We also have a Women of Prophetic Destiny page, WOPD. That's my personal page. Like me there. Amen. Send your prayer requests and your praise reports. Excuse me. Amen. And also, just want to let you know, if you would like myself or Apostle to come and minister at any one of your programs, going back to our website, www.cttkr.org, we do have a contact page. Please go to our contact page, put your information in there, be as detailed as possible, your name, your address, your name and your email address, that's what I was going to ask for, and a contact name and a number. Amen. We don't want to know where you live, okay? We're not the IRS, okay? We're not trying to do that. But please give us as much detailed information so that we can make that contact, that someone will get in touch with you in 24 to 48 hours. And those are the announcements. Thank you for your attentive ear. Just want to go quickly in to read a passage of scripture, then going right into prayer. The Bible, in the book of Psalms 104, chapter 104, verses 27 through 33. The book of Psalms, chapter 104, verses 27 through 33. And it reads, "They that wait upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them that they gather, thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, and they die, and return to their dust. But thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it tremble. He touches the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Come on, people of God, let us pray and look to the Lord. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, God, we give your name glory. We give your name honor and praise. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for waking us up, for keeping us protected all through the night while we were asleep, that when we arose this morning, that everything was in order. We thank you for our minds being right. We thank you for the activity of our limbs. Now, Father, as we begin to go forth with the service, Father, we give your name praise, glory, and honor. We magnify you for who you are. We magnify you for what you have already done in our lives and what you continue to do in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Even now, God, as we come, we ask any sin that is in our lives, Lord, we ask you to forgive us now. Wash us in your blood, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, sins of omission and commission. Forgive us now, that as we lift up our hands, that they will be pure before you, and as we open up our mouth to give you praise, our praise will be an incense, a sweet incense unto your nostrils. Now, God, as we go forth this morning in this word, we ask that you would touch the man of God as he begins to speak forth the oracles of God, anoint the words that come forth out of his mouth. Let us hear the wisdom, your wisdom in his mouth. Crown his head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Let him decrease and let you increase in him this morning in the name of Jesus. God, we're asking that as this word goes forth, that you would bring clarity and understanding. Father, as this word goes forth, we ask that you would bring deliverance and healing. Whatever the need is, Father, we thank you already that you're doing it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, we just give your name all praise, all glory, and honor. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done, and we thank you for where you're taking us. And we give your name all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, without further ado, people of God, let us welcome Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Amen. Come on, let's give God a praise. Hallelujah. Come on, let's put our hands together and give God a praise. Amen. I thank God for the lesson last night. Bishop Butt said it best. He said, nobody can see this. Nobody can hear this over the internet. You know, nobody can see this. But they can hear praise. Amen. Mm-hmm. Nobody heard none of that. Amen. Y'all saw it all. Amen. Mm-hmm. So when we're here, we want to make sure that people know that you hear. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So we're grateful for everything that God is doing and has done for us. And I'm grateful that you all have been here and are here this morning. We've been teaching, and we started on teaching saying, don't get weary. God's walking out his ultimate plan. Amen. And I think there's things that we have to understand as we look at this, is that too often we begin a work, but then we weary and get tired in that work. Amen. And not for lack of trying, you know, you have to work until you get to the point and to the place where you are so excited about what God is doing that you will not be deterred from the work. Amen. Mm-hmm. Nehemiah went up on the wall, and as he went up on the wall, there was times and when Tobias and Sanballat them came up and was doing all that they could do to get him to settle down, shut down, sit down. But he had in his mind already set up that I'm doing the work and I can't come down. And so do we. We have to look at the task that's ahead of us and do the work. Look at your neighbor and just say, do the work.
Do the work.
Amen. Because if you're doing the work, then God can get the glory. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we think God is going to get the glory out of nothing. Amen. If your praise don't come out of your mouth, there's nothing to give him praise, and there's nothing to magnify him. So every once in a while, you have to let him know you're still here by giving a hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Every once in a while, you have to let him know that you're grateful, not because you didn't complain, but because you told him, thank you. Amen.
Yes.
So look at your neighbor and say, let's just give him a little praise right now. Now let's give him a little praise right there. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful. I'm thankful. Amen. Everything that God has done for me and done in my life, you know, he could have chose somebody else. Amen. And, but he chose me and gave me a chance. And that's really the big one right there. He gave me a chance. Amen. 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 Let's go into this. We were in Romans, the 8th chapter, and we're going to be, we went over to Isaiah 40. So let's do this. Just to recap and bring everybody up to speed, let's go back over to Romans, the 8th chapter. And while we were there, we began to read, of course, up at the 26th down through the 30th verse. But I want to drop down below that. Go down to the 35th verse. And it simply says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sore? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. You see that created thing, amen, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And then let's go over here to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Amen. Starting at the 28th verse. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Look at your neighbor and say, there's power for you.
There's power for you.
He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Hmm. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Listen, the simple fact is that in this life, you're going to walk through some things. Amen. And some of the things that you walk through are going to challenge your endurance. Huh? It's going to challenge you. And when it challenges you, you have to have the right answer. Amen. Nothing is worse than asking a question and getting the wrong response. I remember when I was younger, I had this, I'm just going to tell a little bit on this, but not go deep into it. But you'll get what I'm saying, because I'm quite sure that everybody's been there at some point in time. And if you haven't, live a little bit longer. You're going to get there. Amen. When I was a little bit younger, I had this friend, this female friend of mine that I thought was sort of cute. And I talked to her. And as I talked to her, I was feeling enamored. And I said to her, I love you. And she looked at me like, instantly, upon not receiving that back, that I love you back, my little world was a little shaken. Amen. And it is that same thing that we look at when you send something out and you're expecting a response, but it don't come back like you want it. Amen. And this works. Sometimes we go out and we minister to people and we talk to people and we share with them the love of Christ. And we expect that at the moment that we share how awesome and how wonderful Jesus is and what he's done in our life, that at that moment they're going to come in and become Christians and join us in the Christian band and take the preacher's hand and sit down and come to Bible school and Bible study with us and do everything. And sometimes they don't do that. Amen. But even at that, it's not the response that you expected, but you keep on moving. Amen. Huh? If you keep on moving, then you can do some positive things in your life. Look at your neighbor and say, don't get deterred. Huh? Because if you get deterred, then it can cause distraction. Huh? If you get distracted, you can get off focus. And if you're off focus, amen, then your original intent can be skewed. So then we have to understand that every time that you go out and you do something, you're not going to get what you want. But if you stay focused and move forward, amen, then God will reward your integrity and your diligence. Amen. Let's look at what the word talks about here. And I just want to take a little time here in Romans. Those of you who know me know that I love Romans a lot. Amen. And I love Romans a lot, not because I don't read any other book of the Bible, but because the wording at times for things that we're speaking about is so direct that you don't have to make up words, amen, when the words are already there like they need to be, amen? Amen. When we look here and we start to see here in Romans 8 and 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? First of all, we have to understand that it didn't say what. Y'all notice that? It didn't say what shall separate us. It said Who shall separate us? Look at your neighbor and say, who? The problem sometimes that we have in our life is that the who can be ourselves. Sometimes we have to realize and recognize that we may love ourselves more than we love him. Now, politically correct speaking in church, when we say, do you love the Lord? Yes. Do you love the Lord more than anything? Oh, I love him more than anything. But let your flesh get challenged and see how much you still love the Lord more than anything, because the challenge is that anything right there. Amen. So even at times when you are being challenged, you have to understand that the love of Christ didn't move. We move. Amen. Huh? And if we move, then we have to understand that the steps we took to get away are the same steps we need to take to get back to him. How did you come to this love in the first place? Well, I'll give it to you. What happened is at a point when you recognize that you had drifted away and the love has started to wax cold, you had to have a rekindling of that fire. Amen? I've been married to Prophetess Crystal. It'll be 20 years in October. Amen? We haven't done a renewal of vows. And we talked about doing renewal of vows. But there's something that's called anniversary, amen? And every anniversary, you take some time and you reflect upon the previous year and years, amen? You go back to the first things that you did, amen? How do you know that this love is going to survive? Because I can still remember things from the first time we met. Just this past month, I think it is, we ended up out at Denny's, and there was a strawberry shake brought to the table, and the cup was brought to the table. Now, to some people, they say, and why is that significant? It is significant because the first day that I discovered who she was, we went out to Denny's. She had a Superbird platter. She got the strawberry shake and bring me the cup because I want all the extra that's in that too. I had a cup of coffee, a smile and an apology for the waitress because there was no money left over. Because in my pocket, I had $10. And God bless her, she ate up all that $10, but that cup of coffee and that apology, amen. But I held my own and drank my coffee, had conversation, and here we are almost 20 years later, still here, amen. So little things like that remind you of what it was when you started. But what about when I got saved? I have to remember that when I got saved, some of us, and I'm just going to be transparent right here, some of us didn't come up in church and run everything perfectly down the line and follow every law, every rule, every precept. We didn't do that. We got a little bit outside the lines, amen. There used to be a commercial that said, stay between the lines, talking about when you color and do things, keep it neat, keep it orderly. Well, guess what? My life wasn't always neat and orderly. Hello? And when I got to the point where the Lord said, minister this word, I said, bam, I was gone. I was trying to do any and everything but this. Some of you are running today because you think that you can outrun God. Let me testify to you through a proof that you can't outrun God. Amen? Wherever you go, there he is. David said it like this. He said, if I go to the mountaintop, there you are. If I go to the depths of hell, there you are. See, he's going to be there, and his work is going to be there. The assignment that he gave you is going to be there. So the best thing for you to do, I'm just going to tell you because, you know, if you think that maybe it was me, there's a lot of people in ministry today who have the same testimony that I have, and that is when God called them, they tried to find any and every other way around it. You might as well give up now because you can't outreach God. You can't outrun God. You can't outdo God. You're not going to outthink God. You might as well just get down with the get down and get with God. Amen? And if he said, go forward, know this, that he knows your shortcomings. He knows your proclivities. He knows your inabilities.
But all of that comes in your process. So your inability becomes your ability. Your shortcoming becomes your strength. You understand that? And that's why when we look here, we have to understand and see in the scripture that even though there are some things in my life that I can't do, Christ can do them through me. Amen? So I ran. I ran fast and I ran far. I ended up in D.C. I'm doing everything I want to do. It's looking all good. I think I got it together. Woo, God going to let me just be a musician. I made it. And then the Lord said, uh-uh. So in D.C., he brought me to a point where I had to come right back to the call that he gave me before I ran all that way. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, stop running and give up. When you stop running and you give up, then God can use you to do what he's called you to do. Amen? So when we look at this who here and who shall separate us, sometimes we are the who. But sometimes there's people who separate us. I have to be very careful who gets in my ear because everybody can't see what God has said to me. Amen? There are some people, when I tell God, tell them what God has spoken to me and how he wants us to move and which way he wants us to go, they'll look at me and say, well, I wouldn't do that if I was you. Well, listen, you didn't speak to me in the first place. The vision, the plan wasn't yours. Amen? Huh? Need we go up just a little bit here in the scripture, just back a little bit so we can see what's going on? Romans 8:28, we know this. We know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That means that everything that is going on in my life is according to his purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, his purpose. See, because we think that our personal likes, dislikes, our comfort zones and everything means something to God, and God's not asking you anything about your comfort zone because it's his purpose. It's his plan. Amen? What he's doing right now is he's working out his purpose and his plan through your life. Paul said it like this, the life that I live now. He said, I'm dead. But I live, the life I live for Christ. Christ lives through me. Yeah. So I'm not even living Christopher's life no more. Oh, see, you thought, well, I just want to do this and make my life. No. We're supposed to die daily. Amen. That's the word. Look at your neighbor and say, that's the word. If the word is that I die daily, then we have to stop trying to, you know, bolster up and live towards the flesh and start asking God, what is it that you want me to do? Amen. This word his means that it doesn't belong to me. It means that it belongs to him. So it's his purpose. And then we go through the process for whom he foreknew, 29 verse, he also predestined. That means that predestined means that before there was a determination for you in your life, in your existence, there was already a plan that was set up for you. Amen? Huh? He also predestined to be conformed. And that's the part that we have a problem with. It says to be conformed. And many of us are fighting confirmation. We're fighting being transformed. We don't want anything to change. Let me just love the Lord. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give my tithes and my offering. Don't challenge me beyond that. If I don't feel like doing it, the Lord knows my heart. Yes, the Lord knows your heart. That's why he said conform. Look at your neighbor and say conform. Now, what are you conforming to? It's not to me because I'm conforming myself. The Bible says that he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That means that when the world looks at us, they shouldn't see us. They should see him. Many times they can't see him because we're trying to fight for that limelight. We're trying to be in the spotlight. We want to be the focal point. We want people to see us. But God is trying to get us to a place where we understand that when we show and push him forward, then he'll draw men. Amen. If he be lifted, he'll draw all men, amen, and he'll make us fisher some men. They'll come in. Our job then is to love them and to help them develop and mature in the body of Christ so that they can do what they need to do with their kingdom assignments. Amen? But you can't do that because when the people come and you lifting yourself up, then they become subservient to you for your plan. Amen? There's too many people who have their plan and trying to get more people in their plan, but they're not doing his plan, his will, his purpose, because their flesh is too alive. Amen? Huh? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. So when we begin to look at this and see this, then we understand that the process is he predestined the plan before, then he called me. Okay? Many are called, few are chosen. The calling is what God gives the chosen. It's your choice right there. When you choose to answer the call that God gave you to be his servant, then whatever he wants you to do now, you'll do it. Amen? And that's the part right there that we have a parting of ways, because he'll call us, and we think that the calling is just to preach. Let that just, you know, settle on the atmosphere. Amen. Lord gives you a calling, and he says, I want to use you. And the first thing we think that we're going to have to go out and get our robe and everything and get our little caps and all that and everything. And we don't want to do all that, so we begin to back away. And we begin to make excuses. Well, I ain't never. You're right. You haven't never. You know why? Because you haven't answered your call yet. So if God wanted you to minister the word behind the sacred desk, then you haven't gone through the process to qualify to stand here. Amen? That's something that you have to go through. You have to learn how to go through. But many times the calling is not for here. Amen? But we still have to answer the call. Who's going to be the worshiper who leads others into worship? So that when they begin to lift up their hands and say hallelujah, the atmosphere will change and shift. So anything that is not God, when it comes in, will be subdued by the praise and the worship. There's an anointing for that, and everybody can't do it. Look at your neighbor and say, is that where you're called? Huh? Because, see, if you're called there, then you have to be integral to stand and learn how to hear the Spirit so that when you're singing and you plan to do song A, B, and C, and he said, I don't want that. What I want you to do is flow here, that you can actually shift. Amen? You have to be able to shift into what he wants. But that means that you can hear, but you can't hear the shift if you're not in a position that you've been called to. Amen? That's why people get up there and let the song change. Well, that's not on the list. That is, we practiced this all yesterday. We were supposed to sing this song. I told my friends that I was singing my song today. Okay, that's wonderful. Your flesh ain't going to be on parade today. The Holy Spirit's going to be ministered to. He wants this song. Can you, will you, shift without your attitude showing up to disturb the atmosphere? Hello, somebody. Huh? Well, I don't understand. I don't. Why we even do rehearsal? You do rehearsal so you're always prepared. Why do I read the word? I'm going through the scripture and the Holy Spirit showing me different things, but I don't preach all of that because when I get up and I have an idea where I'm going, the Holy Spirit, when I stay here, could whisper in my ear or speak in my heart and tell me what he needs me to say to the people. I'm responsible to be a vessel, amen, and his job is to pour into me so that out of me comes the words of life, amen. Not what I'm trying to put together to show everybody how articulate I am and how wise I am and how much studying I've done. We got too many pulpits where they're just doing that. And the churches are dying because there's no flow of the Spirit. But they X'd out the flow of the Spirit a long time ago because they wanted to make sure that I gave you my opening and I set up and I welcomed everybody and talked about different things and then got in there and gave you my 3 points. And at the very end, then I need to at least give you a little bit of entertainment. And as I entertain you, it's not clear until and finish until the doors of the church is open. That was wonderful. Thank you for your show. You practiced that well. But if the Holy Spirit wanted to take the praise and worship and begin to shift the atmosphere so that people fell prostrate on their face, can you do that? Or do you feel you still have to give your show? Lord Jesus, help us today. Many churches right now have to do the show. Isn't it a shame that those who should be able to discern the moving and the shifting of the Holy Spirit cannot? And they're in leadership positions. Help us, Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, help us. Let me finish this here. If we are then the ones who cause the problem, then we got to get out the way. So I can't be the one who separates, and I can't allow anybody else to separate me either. Amen? Huh? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to go through some things. Oh, yes, you're going through a whole bunch of stuff. You are going to go through some things. Amen?
I remember when I was coming up, I didn't want to read the book of Job because I knew that they had talked about that Job had lost everything. And I didn't want to, you know, read the book for fear that I would have to go through Job's experience. But see, thank God that at some point I read the whole book of Job. Amen. And understood at the end, even though he went through something, at the end he got double, huh, than what he had at the very beginning of the book. Amen. See, that gives me encouragement when I have to go through. I know that when I go through, that just like Brother Job, I can go through and come out. And if he's taking me through, I'm going to be better on the other side of the go-through. Amen? Oh, that a priest right there. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to be better on the other side of the go-through. Huh? So just look at him and say, so go through it. Mm-hmm. So when I read it, I understood that even though there's going to be some things that happen, tribulations, distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, or sore, I have to understand that even if I'm going through it and I'm dealing with it, God has the ability to take me in it. God has the ability to bring me out of it. But when I come out of it, look at this, the tribulation, the distress, the persecution, the famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, all of those different things are going to, during that process, remove from me something that shouldn't be in me, on me. You see that? So when I come out, I'm coming out leaner. I'm coming out without extra things on me. I'm able to do the work because he made sure that as I went through the process was worked on me. So how can we walk and how can we live in this day when we can't stand anything? Too often in life, we're waiting on people to cater to our personal whims, likes, and our feelings. They want, we want people to tell us that it's okay for us to do X, Y, and Z. We go with our carnal minds trying to understand this process. You're not going to understand this process. Look what it says over here in Isaiah. It says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. That means that, just like I said, when the Lord begins to take you through some things, you can go through some things. You understand that? But you, Lord, I don't know why you brought me in here. No. There is no searching of his understanding. You see that? That means that the reason why God took you into it is not the reason you think you in it. Oh, yeah, you thought somebody was hating on you. Somebody had your name in their mouth. Somebody was just trying to find a way to keep some drama and crazy going. You see that? But that's not really what was happening here. God knew what he needed to get out of you. He put you and led you to that situation, and you went into it, and he knows what the outcome is of it. So while you're going through it, stop trying to understand it with your faculties and let him do what he's doing. That Bible verse there, that Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good, means that even though you're in it, it doesn't feel good, the process is not to your liking, it moves you out of a comfort zone, it challenged you on several levels, it stretched you to your breaking point. Guess what? Even at that, all things work together for good. Look at your neighbor and say, for good.
For good.
That means that even as you're going through it, there's some good in there. Amen? So if the Lord fainteth not, and if we're not supposed to faint, then we have to understand exactly what that means. What is he talking about with this fainting stuff? What is fainting? You know, fainting is when you have ability to do some things and you lack strength. Yeah, that's it. Let's look at what the dictionary gives. The definition of fainting, and I like this one right here. It says faint means feeble or slight. The example they give us, a faint resistance or a faint praise. A faint resemblance. What do they mean by faint? That means that it almost looked like a praise. Preachers say, everybody put your hands together and give God a praise, and we see.
Hallelujah.
Look at your neighbor and say, that's a faint, feeble praise. that's faint and feeble. And we got to make sure we never give that to God. You know, we're trying to get the blessings of the Lord. We're trying to honor him, not embarrass him. Amen? Huh? Look what faint means here. It says lacking courage. Cowardly, timorous, you see that? It means to grow weak, lose spirit or courage. So, of course, faint means to temporary loss of consciousness resulting from a decreased flow of blood to the brain. And I wish I had time to really take apart that, because in there, if you put that in spiritual context, loss of consciousness resulting from a decreased flow of blood. That means that the blood of Jesus that should be flowing strong in your body to the mind of Christ has become weak because you haven't been studying him. You've been studying everything else, and it decreased the blood flow, so you got faint. Amen? Because you can't think like he thinks, because the blood of Jesus that's in you isn't flowing properly through your faculties. Look at everything that you put on the inside of yourself. And ask yourself, what tears me up that I can't stand strong? So when we look at this lacking courage, cowardly, timorous, that means that God never lacks courage. Courageous. That means that when the fright comes, instead of looking at the obstacle, he stands and he sets himself and he readies himself, and then he goes to the battle. But he goes to the battle knowing that he's about to accomplish a victory. Because he never, you have to understand this, he never fights a battle that he's lost. He's never lost. Amen? We, because our flesh gets in the way, we lose sometimes. But he's never lost. Amen? And I like that track record. When I can't deal with my track record, I can always deal with his track record. Amen? His record is good. Amen? So when he says here to that he never faints. It says that he never loses courage. He's never cowardly. You see that? Huh? And then it says here that he is neither weary. Weary is to physically or mentally exhaust, to be physically or mentally exhausted by hard work, exertion, or strain. Fatigue, tired. Listen, and that's why I said when God gives us something, we have to learn how to go ahead and do what God gave us to do. Let us not be weary. Don't get faint. Don't get weary. Because the ultimate plan that God has to be walked out. The Bible lets us know that the steps of a good man, of a righteous man, are ordered by the Lord. Amen? That means that God has already set your steps in order. And if you're going to walk a righteous life, if you're going to live a good life, you need to follow those steps. Look at your neighbor and say, follow the steps. So that means that God is never at a place where he gets physically or mentally fatigued or tired. He never does. He never gets weary. In himself, he knows that the end result is worth the effort of getting to the end result. Amen? And we have to take that upon ourselves and realize that the effort to get to the end is worth the process to get to the end. Huh? As I look, I can see that there's mothers. Mothers understand that from the very beginning that there's a buildup in the body. And you have your first trimester, second trimester, third trimester. And then there's that moment, that time where it's going to happen. You can't hold it back. You can't reset the clock. The date, the time is there. Amen? Am I right? I ain't been through it, but I know it's been told. Amen. You can't stop this. Something happened. Whoa! The bags are ready. Everybody runs out the door. Guess what? It is what it is. You see that? Huh? And during that, you have to have strength to deliver. Am I right? So they go through and they make sure that before you even get to that third trimester and all of that, that they're giving you prenatal, that you're going to different classes. They're teaching you how to breathe. Huh? All the rest of that. They're showing you how to position yourself and how to relax and other stress techniques that you have to go through in order for you to keep yourself focus on the task at hand, because everyone who has been through it knows already that it's going to take something for you to come through it. Amen? Huh? At this point, certain point, the mother and the child goes to a point of death that they have to both get to and overcome, and life continues on, but it increases. Am I right? Huh? Because some people have made it to that point and one or two of them haven't made it. You see that? But if in this right here, we know that God has put something on the inside of us. And he's preparing us en route. You see that? That's why certain times the fast is called. Certain times you'll be pulled into prayer. Certain times the word of God will come up on the inside and you'll begin to look at it. And as you're looking at it and studying it, you'll see it and it begins to speak to you and it strengthens you. And you say, "Ooh, the Lord gave me a scripture. The Lord spoke something into my spirit and I saw that. And when I got around the corner, there was something and that scripture came right back to me. Ooh, I thank God because he's mindful of me." How many of you just thankful that he's mindful of you sometimes? Huh? There are times when I was reading in another part of the Bible and he took me to another place and I saw it and I got down the road around the corner and where he took me to was what I needed for that moment. Huh? I could stand, I could minister, I could give the proper example, I could win somebody, I could witness to somebody because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what I need to speak. He prepared me. Look at your neighbor and say, "He prepared me." So if you're going to do this, and if you're going to walk this, amen, if you're going to continue moving and not get faint and not get weary, you first of all have to be prepared. Look at your neighbor and say, be prepared. Huh? How do I prepare myself? Well, I'm so glad that you asked me that, because here in the 29th verse, he tells us some things. In your preparation, you have to understand that the end result is that he is going to sustain you. Amen? Amen? Huh? He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. God is going to make sure that you have what you need to have to do what you need to do. Amen? You see that? He's going to give you the ability to go out. Football players out on the field, at practice time, they start doing two-a-days. While they're doing two-a-days, practicing their moves and strengthening themselves, there's always a water boy sitting over there. Water boy sitting over there has Gatorade. He has water because he knows that going through the process of preparing themselves for the big game, that they're going to get a little tired. Amen? They're going to get a little dehydrated, if you will. And his job is to make sure that they're always hydrated, always ready to go forward. So after they get through a big place, they come back over and everybody's putting it back in because they just took it out. Amen? So when you go through your process and you feel like you have just had it taken out of you, recognize and realize that he gives power to the faint. You see that? And he increases to them that have no might, he increases strength. You see that? So you got to be prepared. When you show up to the field, make sure that the water boy is there. Make sure that your support is there. Amen? Make sure you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Nothing is worse than going through for the sake of just going through. Get your flesh out the way so that God can lead you where he needs to lead you, and you can get what he has for you. You see that? 30th verse, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. How do I prepare myself? It says it right here in the 31st verse. For they that wait, look at your neighbor and say, wait.
Wait.
Oh, wait on what? I'm so glad you asked this. Not wait on your friend, wait on your boo, wait on your relatives, your family, and everybody else to come through for you. Wait on your coworker to come through. It didn't say that. The Bible says here simply, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That means that I'm prepared, number one. Number two, I'm waiting. I'm waiting because I've already prepared myself. You see that? And as I'm waiting on the Lord, he's going to renew me. He's going to renew my strength. Now, when he renews my strength, I'm not going to misappropriate the strength. Huh? I'm not going to use it for my own means and my own gains. I was sharing with Prophetess in the car yesterday, I think it was. We were talking about different things, and I said, you have to understand that when you have a responsibility, you have answered the call, and things are going on, you have to always respond in character and with integrity. Amen? Everybody else can come out of character, huh? They can forget integrity, but when you are who you say you are, I can't be Apostle Christopher today, and then tomorrow when somebody cut me off in traffic, I become somebody who needs to meet Apostle Christopher so I can get my life together for what I did. Amen? Huh? Cussing and telling everybody off, and you can't get along with nobody. Everybody got, see, hold on. Are you or are you not? And see, let's don't even make it Apostle McQueen. How about being a child of God? Can we demonstrate the character of Christ? See, because they tested him. They first of all, they got one of his close friends to lie on him, Judas. And then Judas came and kissed him, and Jesus demonstrated the proper character, which is when he saw him come, knew what he came to do, he said, friend. Many of us would have fell right there, because as soon as you saw him coming, you would have been talking with your hand, your neck would have been moving, you would have been telling people, oh, I know what you just did, I know what you did, why are you coming over here, who you think you are? We would have got into all of that Amen. But Jesus didn't do it. How come we do it? How can we have his character and not do what he did? Lord help us. They took him, they lied on him, and then they blindfolded him. And they said, oh, you a prophet, right? So they blindfolded him and began to strike him and say, tell us, prophet, which one of us smote you? Many of us don't want nobody to challenge who we are. You can't challenge me. I know who God made me to be. Stop. If Christ went through it and let them challenge, how come we can't? Oh, this is rough right here. Because we've been going off of, you know what? They just don't know me. Or I think that Jesus knows you. He knows you very well. That's why he's always challenging you to change. Look, when it says here that in your weakness, his strength is made strong. So stop trying to be strong and learn how to be weak so he can stand up. That strength fails not. Amen? See, in your strength and your understanding, you'll do some things that will cause you some difficulties and problems down the road. But he knows exactly what he's doing. So when we get the strength, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When we get it, then we can't misappropriate it. Look what it says. They shall mount up on wings with eagles. I wish I had time to really take all of that part. But when you look at it, the mounting up on wings with eagles means that wherever he's taking you, whatever level, whatever dimension, whatever height he's taking you to, you're going to be able to obtain it and not just get to it. You're going to be able to maintain it. You see that? Eagles don't just hit up and come back down because they can't stay up there. Eagles fly up, spread their wings, and they stay there. And they look around and see what's out there because they have the strength and the ability to maintain that altitude and that level. So when you allow him to do it, then you'll be able to make it where he's sending you. You see that? They shall run and not be weary. That means you can continue working without ever worrying about whether or not you can continue to do the work. He'll strengthen you. You'll make it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to make it. Come on, say it again. You're going to make it. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. They shall walk and not faint. That means you're never going to get to the place where your consciousness becomes a question. Never become cowardly. Never back down. Never settle. Amen? Everything that God has called us to do, we have to do. Because if you settle down, if you settle, then the enemy can distract you and get you off course. Too many times we're looking at people in ministries and we see that they have settled. It is a sad commentary in Christianity to look at some of these ministries that have failed to pursue the vision, pursue a kingdom agendas and everything else. When we moved down to Florida, when we came down here, we came down here to do a work. Amen. Because we didn't leave from sitting around looking at each other at a table. We actually left from 825 Brooker. Amen. Wonderful edifice. Brick walls and wood ceilings. And, you know, and when we came down here, I said, Lord, you told us to come. So what should we be doing here? He said, prepare yourself. So we've been preparing ourselves all this time. And I know that what God called us to is going to manifest. He keeps validating that. Amen. And I know since he validates that, it's not just us. The Lord sends people along who say, I see you, apostle. I see you, prophet. And this is what prophet is. This is what God showed me. And it's right in line with what he showed us at the very beginning. I know I'm on a proper path, but I can't faint. I can't get weary. Because I know as I progress, then God has, he has moved me into a place where everything is going to work out because it's his ultimate plan. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this opportunity to come before your people. Lord, we have to understand that it is our job and our duty to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where you made us free. Don't faint, don't get weary, don't back up, don't shut down. Lord, when you say move, move. When you say stand still, stand still. Whatever is needed, you know what you're accomplishing in our lives. Our job is to say amen to you and follow your directives and your will. Give us, Lord, the strength to do so. Huh? Give us the ability to do so in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray that if there's someone who's not saved, I pray, Lord, right now that they will accept you, oh God. I pray that they pray this prayer, Father, forgive me of all my sins in the name of Jesus. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, so that they may be developed and matured and go on and do the work that you've given them to do. Lord, I thank you for this now in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for the sick. We pray for the shut-in. We thank you for every miracle, sign, and wonder that manifests because we do your work and we do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll find out more about us, and you'll learn that we have churches all over. Amen. Those especially over in Africa, they need your help. There are some needs, specific needs that they need, from chairs so that people have some place to sit, to sound systems for the outreach. Amen. Bishop Joel, our son over there, is building a new church. The Lord blessed them to be able to build or to buy the plot of land that they need to build on, permanent plot of land, and they need about 200 sheets of metal so that they can build the church over there. These are the type of needs that they have. And when they come to us, we come to you to ask you to help us to meet those needs. Amen. Go to our website, www.ctkr.org, and become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread this gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's his will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Come on, let's give God a praise.
Glory to God. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.